So, like my dad said, this will probably be my last time preaching before I go off to college, and I'm just excited for it. I believe God has given me a word to speak today, and I feel good with the Steve Jobs mic going on today. I feel good. But I love preaching because I'm also the janitor here, so wherever I see a mess, I know who made that mess, so I know who's on my hit list. No, I'm kidding, but but I'm just happy you guys are here today. Had a great fourth. I hope you guys did too. So I'll just hop right into the message. So if you have a Bible, turn with me to Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 46. So a lot of sixes today. So once again, Matthew 26, verses 36 through 46. So I read these verses and then I'll pray. Then Jesus went with them to the olive grove called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over to pray." He took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and became anguished and distressed. He told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." He went on a little further and bowed his face to the ground, praying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." Then he returned to the disciples and found them asleep. He said to Peter, "Couldn't you watch with even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not be given into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Then Jesus left a second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cup cannot be taken away unless I drink it, your will be done." When he returned to them again, he found them sleeping and he couldn't keep their eyes open. So he went to pray a third time, praying the same things again. Then he came to his disciples and said, "Go ahead and sleep. Have your rest, but look, the time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Up, let's be going. Look, my betrayer is here." So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that you'll use me as a vessel today to bring the word, your word. Father, I just pray that you'll call me. I pray that I'll be nice and smooth, just like my dad, and just speak, open our hearts in this place today. Thank you for this opportunity. We love you, and we praise you in your name. Amen. So recently, I was at Walmart shopping. I was with a couple friends, and I saw one of my favorite TV shows on DVD, so I had to get it. The first three seasons of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I love that show. I wish I was smooth like Will. I wish I had those pickup lines, those dance moves like him. Okay, no one laughed. But in the very first, so I got it, only $20. I'm like, oh, this is a steal. So I get it. I drive home that night. I plug in my PS4. I shove in the first disc, and I'm watching that first episode. I'm watching Will Smith be all smooth, coming in, just dancing. But in the very first episode, he's with his cousin Ashley Banks in their room. And they're talking about, I don't remember what they're talking about, but they get on the subject of rapping. And Will's like, "Ashley, you just got to freestyle. You got to freestyle, Ashley." So Will's dropping a beat. Ashley's freestyling up in the room. But a couple scenes later, they're having a dinner party with friends and family. And Uncle Phil, it's like, "Ashley, can you pray for the meal?" So Ashley, everyone bows their head. Ashley, "Thank you, Father, for this food." And she starts rapping. Will's head pops up. He's like, "Oh no, I'm in big trouble here." Uncle Phil's ticked off. He's like, "Ashley, why are you rapping at the dinner table?" But that prayer stood out to me. And there's three things that really stood out to me that kind of connects to the scripture. And that is, she prayed how she felt. And she felt like rapping it. I think in our lives, we need to pray how we feel. I think we sometimes sugarcoat how we're feeling, like, "Oh, Father, how great thou art. I have this thorn in my flesh, Lord, but you are good." I think we need to pray how we feel, not just sugarcoat how we're feeling. And that stood out to me from what Ashley did. But also, it got my attention that it made the family look up and they were concerned. I wrote down, prayers shouldn't be weak. They need to be faith-filled. I think when we have weak prayers, that's when everybody's still looking down at the table. But faith-filled prayers are when everybody looks up and see what God's doing in your life. And also, she wasn't timid. I think a lot of us, I know for me especially, just being at that high school, there'd be times I was timid to pray at school or even talk about Jesus in front of people. But I don't think we should be timid because Jesus saved us from our sins and he gave us the Holy Spirit to empower us to go into every corner of the nation to pray and preach about Jesus what he has done in our lives. So we don't need to be timid because of the Holy Spirit in us. But how does Ashley and Jesus connect? I mean, they don't really, but I just like the story of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air because that's one of my favorite shows. But the first point I have is Jesus was vulnerable in his prayer. We see in the garden that when Jesus went there, he didn't shy away from the fact that he was about to go to the cross. He didn't sit there and say, God, you are good, which God is. But he confronted what was ahead of him. I think a lot of us are maybe in a cross season in our lives, and we're just starting to pray and just starting to talk to God. And that's great, but we need to prepare, and we need to be vulnerable going into that season. Like in my life, I'm going to Miami, Florida for college, and there's only one person who I maybe would have really known going, and they're moving back up here. So I've been praying, Lord, I've been vulnerable, saying, Lord, it's going to be hard being away from my family for 17 weeks this fall. It's going to be hard, but Lord, you are good. I'm going to find people real quick, but just being vulnerable in that prayer, saying, Jesus, I need you every step of the way because I'll be lonely, I'll be scared. Also praying for finances. Come on, the Bechtolds are always worried about the finances. Just kidding. No. But just praying for my finances too, just saying, Lord, I wish I could go for free, but just grinding and working, just grinding at college, going to classes and work. Just give me the strength to do that all 24/7, Father. But I think it's interesting that Jesus said in a different scripture that we just need faith as small as a mustard seed. I think our faiths, like Ashley, need to be faith-filled. And it's encouraging to know that faith as small as a mustard seed's only that big. So I always think about it, a little faith part of our brain only needs to be about this big for God to move mountains. I think that's encouraging because there's times it's like, Father, I don't have the faith to go to Miami. He's like, you just need faith as small as a mustard seed to go down there. I'm like, okay, that's only like not even an inch of my my faith part of my brain, which that's how I think of it. But if we're struggling with being faith-filled, I wrote down three things in my life that helped me raise my faith, helped me to grow my capacity for faith. And one of the ways is just getting into the Word. I think the Word puts into perspective how big God is and the authority he has over all the earth. I love reading the Word and just seeing the story of David and Goliath, a little shepherd boy going to kill a 9-foot giant. I'm like, God, if you can do that in David, Lord, you can do amazing things in my life. Seeing Jesus heal sick people, heal blind eyes, is just so encouraging to say, Jesus, the power that you have, the Holy Spirit is in me, and I have that power too. So just seeing that faith and work in the Bible is just amazing to me. Also, a second way to raise your faith is just getting around believers. I think that's why Sunday service is important every week, because we come around people that believe in the same thing we believe. We get filled up. But also, we need to have small groups and just a community. Ooh. Just a community of people that we believe in that are faith-filled, because that will rise our faith. When we're walking through the darkest valley, our faith can sometimes be very low. This mic's moving on me. Our faith can just be very low, but when we get around those people, that's when it rises up. And just being at VU Conference, I didn't know anybody down there except for my dad. But just being around the people that love Jesus made me want to love Jesus more, made me want to love people more. Just the way they got excited for church every week. I'm like, come on, I'm ready for Journey Church this week, next week. I'm ready to preach whenever I have the opportunity. And third thing that helps me raise my faith is worship music. Just sitting in my room, turning on my speaker and listening to some Hillsong River Valley music, it just raises my faith. And I wrote it down like this: worship music is for me humbling myself before God and to know that I'm not in control, resting in Him. And when I say I'm not in control, that's, to you, that might not be encouraging because it's laying down your life, but that's being faith-filled, knowing that God is in control, knowing that He has the power. He's in control of my life. He's the head of my life. But also, kind of transitioning into the first 1A point, God can't bless who you pretend to be. So there's a story in the Bible about the proud priest in Luke 18:9-14, of the proud priest and the humble servant and the tax collector. So I can read it for you in Luke 18:9-14. It says this: "Then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. Two men went into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer: 'I thank you, God, that I'm not like other people, cheaters, sinners, adulterers. I'm certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week and give you a tenth of my income.'" Verse 13: "But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted.'" So I think it's interesting that the Pharisee that tried to put on a mask to say that he was so great and all was humbled by God. I know in my life, I don't know if this is really biblically accurate, but just knowing I don't want to get humbled by God. I want to humble myself so God doesn't have to humble me, because I want to see what God can do in my life, and I don't want Him wasting any time humbling me, so I want to prepare myself by humbling me. And I think that's important for prayers, just humbling yourself, knowing that, God, you're in control. I'm not in control. Fixing our eyes upon heaven, not on ourselves. But I think it's interesting that, let's do a raise of hands. Who enjoys having fake friends? A lot of people. Oh, yeah, okay. But I know in my life, when I'm around people that are fake, I don't really enjoy that, because they're not vulnerable with me. They're not real and transparent. I think so many of us, when we pray to God, are being fake, if I can be completely honest. I know in my life there's times it's like, God, I don't want to address this right now, so I'll just put on a covering and just be fake with you. But God can't bless who you pretend to be. He can only bless who you really are. I think you're only blessed when you confront yourself and open your heart to God. That's the same with growth. You can't grow when you're fake. You can't grow when you don't address stuff in your life, address the sin. You can only grow when you address it, and God can do what only He can do in His power. Amen. I thought that was a good point. But also, I have a lot of like different thoughts going on right now. But one thing that I heard in the sermon this week that I kind of want to touch on is that your life is a magnet, and you attract people who you are like. So if you're not around faith-filled people, you probably won't be faith-filled. So I challenge you this week to get around faith-filled people, to raise that level, to be faith-filled. Also, he also said in the message that if you're the smartest one in the group, you need to get a new group. I think in my life, that should be pretty easy, because the only time I'm the smartest in the group is when I'm in the kids' class downstairs. So I think I'm fine with that for my whole life. And one of my, like, the 1B point of this main point, of the first point, is that stood out to me, was that he was vulnerable with the three he brought to the garden. I think that's important, why we need community, to be vulnerable with people. It stood out when he said, "My soul is crushed. Guys, my soul is crushed. I need to go pray." I know there's some people, in my life, there's not a lot of people I can say my soul is crushed, but the people I am, those are the people I'm closest to. And I wonder if you guys have somebody in your life that you can say, hey, right now in this season, my soul is crushed. I'm going to college. My soul is crushed. I don't know how I'm going to do it. But just getting around people that you can be vulnerable with, I think will lead to growth as well. So a question for you guys. Are you guys vulnerable with your prayers? And are you vulnerable with other people? We can just have time to think on that if you want. But are you vulnerable with your prayers? And are you vulnerable with people? And that leads me into my second point that I have that stood out to me in the scripture was that Jesus kept knocking. He kept knocking on the door. We see the scripture is kind of repetitive. Jesus going to pray, coming back, they're sleeping, going to pray, coming back, they're sleeping, going to pray, coming back, they're sleeping. I think that's important that they show us or that Matthew writes this for us. I think it's important because it shows that Jesus had persistence on asking God stuff. And I think a lot of us, I know in my life, we need persistence asking God. And I think that just shows the faith that we have in God. There's a story, another story, in Matthew 15, Matthew 15, 21 through 28, that says this: Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Sidon? I don't know how to say that. A Gentile woman who lived there came to him pleading, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter's possessed by a demon that torments her severely." But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Then his disciples urged him to send her away. "Tell her to go away," they said. "She's bothering us with all her begging." Then Jesus said to the woman, "I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel." But she came and worshipped him, pleading again, "Lord, help me." Jesus responded, "This isn't right to take food from the children." And replied, "That's true, Lord, but even dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath their master's table." "Dear woman," Jesus said to her, "your faith is great. Your request is granted." And her daughter was instantly healed. I think when we keep knocking, God says to us, "Your faith is great and your request is granted." I think we need to keep knocking on our prayer requests because that just shows God that we're desperate and that we need him in our lives. How many of us know somebody that when we call them, they just don't pick up their phone? Anyone? I know not to throw my dad under the bus, but he's kind of in our family known for not picking up his phone when we need him. So we just keep calling him. He has like 5 missed calls from us, but when he finally picks up, it's like, "Oh, I finally need to get in touch with you, and just so good to hear your voice." I think that's with us with God. When we really need something, we'll keep praying. We'll keep asking God for it. We just won't pray once, "God, I need your healing," and then just go on for the rest of the day. If we really believe in him and we really need it, we'll keep praying, keep asking, keep calling on him. And there's a lot of us know, I would guess everybody in here knows, but one of my friends this January was diagnosed with cancer. I don't know how to say it because it's some weird word, but he was diagnosed with cancer, and we've been praying for him. We were praying for him, but one of the basketball coach asked me this year after a game to go and pray for him at center court. So we got down. There's hundreds of people on the court. The court was just full of the TK56 shirts. It was a beautiful moment. I prayed. People were crying. Just had an amazing moment. But I wish we could say he was healed instantly in that moment, but he wasn't. And he's still going through a healing process. But that doesn't mean after that one prayer, we just stop knocking and asking. Right. No, we need to keep knocking and keep asking God to heal him of this cancer. And I just think it shows the faith we have in him, that we trust him to keep knocking and to keep asking. So is there a prayer request in your life that you're knocking for? Is there a prayer request that you keep knocking for? Like I said, my life, just, Lord, I pray that I'm comfortable in Miami, not knowing everyone. I pray that I'll meet people fast, Father. I pray that you'll be with me every step of the way. And this leads me to my third point, my third observation in the scriptures, that prayer isn't our last resort, it's our first response. A like I kind of said this earlier, but I think it's interesting that Jesus didn't wait to be hanging on the cross and him to be praying, saying, Lord, Father, I pray that you'll take this away. I think it's interesting that he prepared himself. It was his first response for what was going to happen, and he prayed. He prayed about going to the cross, said, Father, I need you to take this cup of suffering, but even if that your will be done, not mine. I think a lot of us think God is like Will Smith in The Genie. He's going to grant you 3 wishes, but God can answer prayer. God answers prayers, but he wants a friendship and a relationship with all of us. Shout out to Gabe Globitz. That's my man. But sorry, I saw him walk by. But God wants a relationship with you, and he wants to hear from you. He just doesn't want to be his last response. He doesn't want you to be the last resort to your problems. He wants you to come to him first. Oh my word, I'm tripping up. He wants you to come to Jesus first and pray about the situation. And I keep alluding back to the college. I think my prayers right now are preparing me for what's ahead in the future. I don't think it'd be good if I got to college and said, oh, Lord, I made a mistake. I need people in my life right now. But I think my prayers right now are planting a seed into people's hearts that I'm going to be around. And God's saying, Nolan, your prayers now are preparing you for the future. Thank you for not making me a last resort in your seasons. Thank you for making me a first response. We see that with Jesus again, praying, God, I know what I'm about to endure. Give me the strength. He didn't ask for the strength when he was getting whipped. He was asking it before. He was getting prepared. He didn't wait until the last minute to get strength from God. But also, we need to get our hearts aligned with God. I go to a chiropractor when my back is out of line. My dad loves when I go to the chiropractor, but inside joke. But I go to the chiropractor when my back is out of line. I don't go there when I'm aligned, because that would make no sense. They give me workouts to do when I'm out of line or in a line, so I don't get out of line. I think we treat God as an all-great chiropractor. When we're out of line, we ask, oh, God, align me with you. But then we don't do anything to stay aligned. We just go back into out of aligned. And I think God obviously will get us aligned, but when we're aligned, we need to stay aligned with Jesus. I think we can do that through prayer, coming to church, reading our Bibles. I think God wants us to be aligned with him, just saying, God, I know your will. I know your plans for my life. I know what you want me to do. And not to get aligned and say, God, I messed up again. I need your help. I think that's why it's important to read the Bible, so we stay aligned, knowing what God has for our lives. But, I didn't know if I wanted to speak on this point, but I think it's kind of important that we do. And that there's some people in my life that only talk to me when they're out of a line, which can get, if I can say, gets annoying, because it's like, oh, I want to know you, but when you're out of a line, that's the only time you talk to me. I think so many of us are like that with God. When we're out of line or in a problem, that's only when we talk to God. But we need to talk to God and have a friendship with him when we're aligned too, because Jesus wants to know us as friends. Jesus is the friend of sinners. He doesn't want us to be walking through every season by ourselves. He wants us to be with us every step of the way. When we go to work, he wants to be with us. When we go to school, he wants to be with us. Not just in the church service, he wants to walk with us every single day, every single hour, every single minute. And we can do this by being aligned with him. So I was rewatching one of my favorite movies called Shutter Island with my main man, Leonardo DiCaprio. I love that man. I loved him. But there is a quote that stuck out to me that I think fits perfectly into this message. It says, what should have been a last resort has become a first response. And I think God says this, what should have been a first response has become a last resort. And I think a lot of us are making prayer a last resort in our lives when things are bad, not when things are good. So is prayer the first response or the last resort in your life? We need to make it the first response to make us, to, which leads me into the fourth point, is prayer prepares us for the future. Praying first prepares us for the future. It gets our heart right with God, knowing where he wants us to go. And like I've said a couple times already, that's what Jesus did. He prepared his heart praying first, saying, God, prepare my heart going onto the cross. Prepare me, humble me, Father. I can't do this. Your will be done, not mine. But I used to work at the great store of Walmart in Hudson. Who loves Walmart? Come on. Walmart's the best. Yeah, let's go. But when I used to work there, I would need a lot of direction on the cash register. When I got there, I was 16. I could drive. But I would get to that register, and I'd be scared, like, oh, Lord, I hope I don't mess up. I hope I don't mess up. So I'd ask people for directions, say, how do you do this? How do you work this? And I think this is kind of what we need to do with Jesus, too. We need to get direction. The only way we get direction from him is asking him. We don't get direction by just sitting there, oh, no, hopefully I don't mess this up again. But I think it's obviously we can learn from our mistakes, learn from our past. But I think it's important that we need to ask God for direction. The only way I got direction at Walmart was by asking coworkers and getting help. And the only way we can get direction in life is asking God, praying about it, asking people that you trust that follow Jesus. We heard a message last night that said, get two or three trusted people for a next step to see what they have for you. I know in my life I talked to one of my, I wouldn't say mentor, but one of my good friends, and about saying, I feel called to Miami. Do you think it's right? He's like, no, I think that's perfect for you. Talking with my parents who I trust so much in my life, saying, they're like, no, I think Miami's the right call for you. Even though they wanted me to go to Minneapolis, I'm going to Miami. I prayed between Seattle and Miami, the two furthest points in this that we could have gone, but I prayed and got direction from it. I asked God and asked people. But also, I learned from my mistakes at Walmart, obviously. And this year, I had a class called ACCT, Assistant Child Care Teacher, and we would go into a classroom for 3-4 days a week. And after that class, after an hour and a half in that class, I'm like, I can't work with kids. I don't see how teachers do that. I'm like, oh, these 5-year-olds, I'm like, I need to get out of this room as fast as possible. I would go to Quick Trip, get an Arizona iced tea. I'm chugging that. I'm like, oh, this is a break for me. But just see, I thought that was going to be funnier. But jokes are not landing. but just learning from my mistakes and stepping out and doing stuff, I was like, yeah, that's not for me. I think there's stuff in our lives that we need to try, and sometimes it might not be right for us, but at least we tried it. Like me preaching, I like preaching. I like, even though I'm not the best, I enjoy being up here. And just knowing that this is what God has called me to do is just encouraging. I'm thankful that I have the opportunity to come up here and preach. But is there a place you need direction in your life? So in close, I'll just go over the last 4 points again, and then we'll pray. And then I don't know if you'll come up, and then my dad will come up again. But the 4 points that stood out in the scripture was that Jesus was vulnerable in his prayer. He didn't shy away from the fact that he was about to endure the cross. He was open and honest with God and with people. Secondly, Jesus kept knocking. We need to keep knocking to show our faith, show that we trust Jesus, show him that we believe that he has the power to change our lives. Third, prayer is not our last resort. It's our first response. We need to make prayer our first response. for the fourth point is because prayer prepares us for the future. So, yeah, simple as that. Prayer prepares us for the future. So I'll pray. So dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to preach and share your word with people today. I just pray that something stuck with them today. I pray that people will be vulnerable in their prayers, be vulnerable with other people, Lord, because that's how we grow. Father, I just pray that you'll open our hearts continually to what we have to do. Father, I just pray that we'll pray first in every situation that we go in life. I pray if there's someone struggling in a situation right now, that they'll fix their eyes on you, Father. I pray that they'll get around faith-filled friends and that they'll just grow and love you, Father. I just pray if there's someone in a hard season, Lord, you are a comforter. I pray that you'll comfort them in this season. Father, thank you for everything you have done in our lives. Thank you for this church. I pray that you'll do what only you can do in this church. Thank you for your love. Thank you for dying on the cross. Father, thank you for the spiritual freedom that you give us. We thank you and we love you in your name. Amen. Thank you.